God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our worship service at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. We're excited to be together with the entire body of Christ, no matter where you're coming from, because we're going to worship in one accord. We're going to hear his word so that we can execute it, so that we can learn, grow, and achieve in what God has for our lives. So I'm excited, but I want to make sure that you're also ready. We're going to commune with him together, and we're going to have communion. So make sure you get your juice and your water, your crackers or your bread, come together as a family, and make sure you're ready for that moment at the end of our service so that we can have an intimate time with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, remembering what he has done. Let's worship right now. Let's go.
This morning, we magnify your name. We say, you are the Lord.
You are the Lord God Almighty.
You're perfect in everything you do. The angels declare you are holy. And no one else compares to you. We stand in awe of your glory. There is no other God like you.
Let the people,
all the children,
lift your voices.
give you glory. Say that one more time. With power. That's all the words. Sing with us this morning. Is my God great?
My God great.
Our God great.
Our God great.
Lord,
above.
This morning we declare. My God great.
My God great.
Our God great.
Our God great.
Say.
Lord,
above. This morning, if you do, sing with us. With power and majesty, dominion. Oh, you got it. Oh, oh, oh. My God great.
Our God great.
Say, Lord, above. Father, we give you all the glory. My God great. Sing. With power, say,
dominion.
Oh, say that one more time. Of the Lord, the manifested presence of the Lord would bring peace right where you are. Yes, Jesus. Purify.
hearts, Lord. Purify our hearts, Lord. Sanctify our hearts, Lord. Sanctify our hearts, Lord. Oh, Lord, we need you.
Yes, Jesus.
We need to see you. We're desperate for you. Now let your glory settle here. Ha. Settle here.
Help me say that in the room. Purify our hearts.
Purify our hearts, Lord.
Purify our hearts, Lord.
Father, this morning, wash us, sanctify us, and make us clean.
Sanctify our hearts, Lord.
Oh, oh, oh. Sanctify.
Sanctify our hearts, Lord.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord, we need you.
Father, we need you. And we need to see you.
We need to see you. Ah.
We're desperate for you. Now let your glory
settle.
Hey, Father, that's our heart's cry this morning. Hey,
settle.
Father, as long as we have you, we don't need anything else. Settle.
Settle.
Rest in the room, Father. Right where we are, Jesus, we need you.
Yeah.
Oh, 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 oh.
Ah. Now let your glory
settle.
Settle
right there where you're seated. I want you to lift up your hands before the Father. I want you to open up your mouth and give him praise right there where you are, as if your very life depended upon it. Now we sing to the Father. Hey.
Come on and take your seat. At your feet, with you we can't be beat. Won't you settle? Won't you settle here?
Come on and take your seat.
Yes, God.
Our burdens at your feet.
With you,
with you we can't be beat.
Won't you settle?
Won't you settle?
To settle right here. Won't you settle, Jesus?
Won't you settle?
You can settle.
You can settle here.
Father, at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Settle, settle.
Here.
Father, won't you settle?
Won't you settle?
You can,
settle.
Jesus. In the midst of a dry and desperate time, Father, we're crying out for you to settle. Without you, we're nothing. We can't go on. Settle.
Here.
Won't you settle, Jesus?
Won't you settle?
You can settle.
You can settle.
Yeah. Father, we give you glory. We magnify your name, Jesus. Settle in this place. Rest, rule, and abide in our hearts and in our minds, Father.
Well, let me start off by wishing everybody a happy New Year. I'm excited about a new year, and I'm glad for a new year too. I know you are too, because we're anticipating this year to be a lot better than last year. It was challenging in 2020, wasn't it? But God, in His own unique way, is going to use the havoc of 2020 to make us a better people in 2021, because He gave us a divine disruption in order that we might have a divine reset. So let's get our spiritual priorities in order. That's why I've been so excited to do this series on the Holy Spirit, and I hope you have been blessed by it. You know, as we move forward in this year, I want you to draw near to God. That's why at our church at Oak Cliff, we're going to spend the whole month of September, every Wednesday night, fasting and praying. From 6 o'clock Wednesday p.m. to 6 o'clock Thursday p.m., our whole congregation is going to fast and pray for that 24-hour period. And we're going to get on our Zoom at 8 o'clock on Wednesday night, and we're going to pray together and then pray by ourselves or with our families. And we're going to do that every Wednesday night, because we need God to just envelop us this month in order to launch us into this year. So I want to invite all of you to take advantage of doing that wherever you are and whatever group of people you are associated with, so that we calling on God, because we desperately need Him. If you're in the Metroplex, then we want to invite you, if you need a church home that's kingdom-minded, that's building disciples, but that loves people, then go online to ocbfchurch.org/membership and find out about our church, about our Zoom membership process. And if you need a church home where we experience God together, we invite you to look and see if this is where the Holy Spirit is leading you. We would love to get to know you. Look at the scriptures as we go over them. Don't just again, I want to say it again. It's not the preacher, it's the word of God through the preacher. So let's go back to scripture, because that's our final authority. And again, as we launch the new year, and as we are working toward meeting back again, starting to meet back in person here, we're making our plans to do that real soon in a safe and responsible way. We still need your support. If you remember, your tithe is keeping us strong, and you are faithful because God has sustained you. And so you want to let Him know you are grateful to Him for sustaining you. And the offering is that which is above the tithe to take us further than we can go even with the tithe. If you're a member of another church, please support your ministry. Your pastor, your church needs you. And then if this ministry continues to bless you, you can give an offering to help keep us coming your way and ministering to you, which is our great joy. Well, it's an honor to be with you. It's an honor to celebrate the Lord with you. It's an honor to grow together with you and to believe that God has something special this year that He set us up for last year. Well, let's prepare our hearts to continue in worship. Jesus. All of us have become all too familiar with the refrain, I can't breathe. Whether it was Eric Garner in New York or George Floyd, that refrain, I can't breathe, was a life and death cry. Because we all know that the inability to breathe means that life is in jeopardy. Conversely, the ability to breathe means that I'm taking in life and I'm free to live. Breath matters. It matters for good, and it is terribly detrimental when the ability to do it is lost. We're talking about the names of the Holy Spirit. Today, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit, who is the breath. The Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as the breath. He is literally the oxygen of God. Many scriptures bring this out. But when you understand that he is your oxygen, he is your ability to breathe, it means he is your ability to live. Life and death is tied to our relationship to the Holy Spirit, because that is the relationship we have to breath. It is the rallying cry of the Christian and of the Christian community. It is to the degree that we are breathing the Holy Spirit, it's to the degree that we experience life and presence of God in our midst. It is to the degree we experience hope in the midst of hopelessness. I remember the doctor was giving a patient some information on some tests that they did. He said, I've got some bad news and I've got some really bad news. What do you want to hear first? He said, well, what's the bad news? The bad news is, based on your test results, you only have 24 hours to live. He said, well, what's the really bad news? Well, the really bad news is, I should have told you this yesterday. Because things can really go from bad to worse. And just as the physical respiratory system is in trouble when you can't breathe, so is the spiritual respiratory system in trouble when you can't breathe. In John chapter 20, we read these verses beginning with verse 19. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, Sunday, when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, their sins have been retained. It says he breathed on them, and what happened? They received the Holy Spirit. The Hebrew word in the Old Testament for the breath of God, the Spirit of God, is ruach. The breath of God hovered over creation and brought life out of chaos in Genesis 1. In Genesis 2, verse 7, it says God breathed, he ruached the Spirit of God into dirt that God had formed into a man, and man became a living soul. You see, the ruach is the breath of God that gives life. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 5 to 8, he said, new life comes from this breath of God, the Spirit of God. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, that this Spirit of God gives life. The New Testament word is pneuma, where we get pneumonia from. It has to do with the ability to breathe. So both the Old Testament word ruach, the New Testament Greek word pneuma, is designed to let you know that the Spirit of God is tied to your ability to breathe, that is, your ability to live. Without the presence of the Spirit of God, you are DOA, dead on arrival. That's why Ephesians 2 says in verse 1 that we were dead in our trespasses and our sins, that a baby is born dead on arrival spiritually because they do not have the ruach, that is the pneuma, the life of God pulsating within them, even though they have physical life and access to physical oxygen. So the absence or presence of the Spirit of God as the breath of God lets you know whether you are experiencing life. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. So the more of the Holy Spirit you are inhaling, breathing, the more life of God you experience. The less of the Holy Spirit you are breathing, the less of the life of God you are experiencing. So you must have the life of God, and then you must be breathing that life in order to live, that is, to experience the spiritual realm at the highest possible level. So, the breath of God is the Spirit of God at work. Job 33 verse 4 says that the breath of God is the Spirit of God. So it combines the two. The breath of God is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the breath of God. So when God exhales, it's the Spirit of God working. God doesn't just exhale, He exhales life because the Spirit gives life. One of the problems today that we have is because people, Christians, are not breathing the Holy Spirit. We're not experiencing the life of God like it was meant to have. Now, non-believers can't breathe Him because they don't have Him. So they do the best they can. But believers have been given a personal internal oxygen tent. We've been given the life of God to breathe God's life within us, outside of us, around us, because He is the life of God that is within us. Frankenstein was a monster. But when he was first created, he was anatomically correct, but he couldn't do anything because he wasn't alive. But the moment he got struck with life, he became animated and alive. Far too many people are monsters in their attitudes and actions, character and conduct, because they haven't yet learned to breathe. And the Holy Spirit is, in fact, the breath of God. Now, you can fake breathing. One of the things you probably won't ever see me applying for a job for is a mortician. That's just not... It just doesn't grab me to be living my life in the midst of cadavers. Now, one of the reasons is I had a friend who was a mortician, and he worked on cadavers all the time, and he was explaining to me what happens when they're working on cadavers. He says sometimes there is muscular reaction when they're working on a cadaver. In other words, sometimes it'll twitch. Sometimes the cadaver will blink. He said one time he was working on a cadaver and there was such a rumbling of muscular reaction, it literally knocked itself off the table. Now, you know, I'm not, that's not my job description, because if I was there and I saw it do that, there would be two cadavers on the floor, the one that was there and me, all right? So being a mortician, that's not my thing. because you can actually be anatomically correct. You can go to church. You can go to prayer meeting. You can read your Bible. You can do the religious thing without breath. You can have the movements, the muscular reactions, either because you're not a Christian or because you are a fleshly Christian and you aren't breathing the breath of God, which is the work of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 104, verse 30 says that all of creation exists and all of creation is renewed in its life because of the Spirit. So even non-Christians don't know it, but they benefit from the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit brings life to the created order. So even living your physical life is tied to the Holy Spirit, even when you don't have a spiritual life. So non-believers don't know it, but they even have a reason to praise God that they can breathe physically. But you and I get to breathe physically and spiritually because one of the names of the Holy Spirit is the very breath of God. In this passage, there was a problem. Jesus has died. Now he's risen from the dead, and in his resurrected body, he comes through a closed door. We see that the doors were shut, and Jesus stood in their midst. There had to be a sight. He walks through a shut door. By the way, you'll be able to do that in your glorified body. That's why Jesus was able to step on a cloud when he was lifted up in the ascension to heaven 40 days after he rose from the dead. Because the physical body will be able to do things that it cannot do, limited as it is in this world order. But when you get your glorified body, you'll be able to walk through matter and still be physical. You'll be able to eat. It's going to be an amazing reality because the Bible says our bodies will be like his. So you're going to be able to do things you can only imagine now. So you can imagine when they saw the resurrected Christ come through the door. When the resurrected Christ came through the door, it says they were huddled together for fear of the Jews. They were afraid that those who had killed Jesus was now going to kill them. So they're huddled together because of their fear. They could not breathe. We're living in a world today where there's a lot to be afraid of in our human existence. We're afraid of disease. We're afraid of viruses. We're afraid of violence. We're afraid of our health breakdown, conflict racially, culturally. We're afraid of abuse. Well, they were afraid and they could not breathe. You ever notice when you're afraid, it takes a little work to breathe. You might not have been conscious of your breathing before then, but you're conscious now because something has invaded your peace. So now you understand why Jesus says, peace be with you, because he knew they were scared. They were terrified. Their lives were in danger. So if you are afraid today of what's happening around you, what's happening in our nation, what's happening with our families, there is in our humanity a reason to be afraid. Yes. But Jesus shows up, the resurrected Christ, and he brings with him oxygen. He brings with him the breath. So let's look at this a little closer. He comes with fear and he says in verse 19 of John 20, peace be with you. What is he doing? He's dialing down the fear temperature. Peace be with you. Well, wait a minute. I'm scared. How is peace going to be with me? Because I'm with you. Now watch this. You have the person of the risen Christ. Watch this. And the word of the risen Christ. You have the person of the risen Christ because he's risen from the dead. He's come through a closed door, resurrected Christ, and the word of Christ, because he doesn't just show up, he talks, he speaks, and he speaks peace to them. So if you are scared, if you're a little toe up from the flow up, if you're a little shook up, if your world has been rocked, I want to let you know that Jesus has risen. And just as he walks through closed doors, he can break into your life, like in Revelation 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens up the door, he stands wanting to enter in. He, even though he has risen, still wants to enter in to what is causing you to be emotionally or circumstantially disabled right now. The context is a context of fear, but he brings his presence and he brings the word. So let me bring the word, because he says, peace be still. He says, peace be unto you. When you are cultivating a relationship with the risen Christ, when you just aren't a Christian, but you're cultivating a relationship, you've let him through the door. And you are listening to his word. You are now ready to breathe again, because right after those two things, he breathes on them. What does that mean? He imparts life of the Holy Spirit to calm their fears. The word of God is the word of life. The word of God gives life. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, all scripture is inspired of God. The Greek word there is theopneustos, which means to outbreathe, to exhale. So all scripture is the Holy Ghost of God. It is inspired. The Bible explains in 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, it says that no prophecy is given of private interpretation, but the men who wrote scripture was born along. They were born along by the Spirit of God. So the word of God is the breath of God. It's the voice of God in print. But you say, I'm not seeing it give me peace. But wait a minute. It is the voice of God. Remember, Jesus showed up and then he spoke. Whenever you separate the word of God from the relationship with God, it may not have the life-giving effect of the Spirit on you. That's why you don't just want to have a relationship with Jesus. You want to have a relationship with his word. In other words, you want the living word to be connected to the written word so that the breath of God, he breathed on them, the Holy Spirit can bring life into your circumstance, into your situation, and into your environment. You see, the problem today is we got folk who can't breathe trying to get along. We got folk who can't breathe trying to get along with themselves. And you know, if you can't get along with you, we're going to have problems with you and me getting along with one another. But when the Spirit of God is connected with the Word of God, because it's tied to the person of God that we are seeking to pursue a relationship with. So when you read the Bible, you don't just read it because a verse a day will keep the devil away. You read it because you're looking for the Lord. You're reading it because, Lord, show me how I can get closer to you by reading what I read today. Lord, show me what you want me to obey, because I know if I obey you, I'm drawing closer to you. And if I grow closer to you, I'm going to get more oxygen from you. You see, it is the Trinity. It is God. It is Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit, based on the word, that's teaming up to give you life. And like a Xerox machine, what the Holy Spirit does is he Xeroxes the truth of the Bible onto your heart. You've literally put your heart on a Xerox machine so that God could lift the words of Scripture off of the page because of the relationship with Jesus, so that the Word of God is in your heart. It is being manifested in your life. In other words, it has become an experience. Let me tell you what the job of the Spirit is. The job of the Spirit is to take a still photograph and turn it into a motion picture. I remember many years ago when The Passion of the Christ came out. Many of us saw the movie. Now, I have read about the crucifixion of Christ in all the Gospels. I can tell you what it says. I can tell you how it seemed like it would have felt. But when I went and saw the movie, The Passion of the Christ, I didn't just read it and I didn't just understand it. I experienced it. We've all known what it is to enter into the experience of something because it has become more real to us than just learning about it and reading about it. The Bible can seem like a dead book. Now, the Bible is not a dead book. The scripture is clear that the Bible is alive. But it can seem like a dead book because it hasn't become animated in our experience yet. But when I saw the Passion of the Christ, I felt the lashes that Jesus was going through. I felt the thorns. Didn't feel them physically, but I felt them emotionally. Tears welled up in my eyes because I was entering into the experience of the crucifixion. You know what the Holy Spirit's job is when you start to breathe? The Holy Spirit's job is to turn the book that's given by a living author who's written a living document and to animate it in your life so you breathe again, so that you are experiencing the reality of God operating within your life. And it is to the degree, you know, when you turn on a faucet, based on how much you turn it on, will tell you how much water flows. If you just turn on a little bit, you get drips, or maybe you get a slow run. You turn on a lot, you get a gush. A lot of us are living our Christian lives with either the faucet off or barely turned on, so we just get a drip of animation. And then there are those spiritual Christians who let the water just gush out of the faucet. Because the dynamic relationship with the breathing is a way of life. It's not a Sunday visit. That's why the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, we need to walk by the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, if He's the life source that every believer has, He must become the way you walk. In other words, God does not want you visiting the Holy Spirit just because you have Him. He wants you walking with Him, that is, living in reliance on Him. That's why the Bible says pray without ceasing. Doesn't mean get on your knees 24 hours a day. It means operate all of your life in consultation with Him. Let me ask you a question. When you're breathing, do you just do this? Is that how you breathe? That's not how you breathe, because that's not living. If you gotta do that like that, you're not living. You're existing. Something else is going on. You know why? Because breathing is something, just a natural flow. It's the way you flow. It's the way you operate. In other words, you breathe so naturally, you don't even think about breathing until you can't breathe. Okay, let me make this more personal. I grew up as an asthmatic. I still carry the remnants of asthma today. I have an inhaler that I take as needed. But growing up, it was really bad. I had to go once a week to the hospital to get epinephrine shots to control my asthma. It was a bad problem. The problem with asthma is you can't breathe. You're wheezing. You're struggling because your lungs are not able to take it in and put it out. You feel like you're dying inside when it gets bad enough. And many have lost their life due to asthma attacks. What's the problem? I can't breathe. I can't breathe. My natural way of operating has been interrupted. He says, if you live by the Spirit, if you live by the breath, if you have the Holy Spirit within you, you need to learn to walk with Him. That is, operate in concert with Him. In other words, Holy Spirit, guide me in this situation. Holy Spirit, I need you to lead me. Sometimes you just think it. Sometimes you don't, you're not in a position to say it, but it's the way you operate and you're walking with him. You're rolling with him. He's part of the consultation. But you say, but I'm supposed to roll with Jesus. Absolutely. And the Holy Spirit is Christ in you. So when you're rolling with the Holy Spirit, you're rolling with Jesus. And when you're rolling with Jesus, you're rolling with the Father, because these computers are networked. They're all hooked up together. But the one who is operating in you now on behalf of the Father and the Son is the person of the Holy Spirit. And it is his job to enable you to breathe, that is to operate with spiritual life. And when he gives you the ability to operate with spiritual life, he speaks peace to you. Jesus says in John 16, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He spoke peace to them. And what God wants you to do is experience his peace. He doesn't want us to succumb to the chaos around us. You may not be able to stop the chaos. You may not be able to change the chaos, but you're not to be controlled by the chaos. Once the chaos is controlling you, that means you're not living in the peace. The peace of God, watch this, which the Bible says passes understanding. How does the peace of God pass understanding? Because you don't understand why in the world you have it right now, given what you're going through, given what you're living in, given what you're facing. You want to know, how am I calm in this chaos? You remember in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, the disciples are crossing the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is asleep on the stern. And they hit a lilac. A lilac is a windstorm that's tossing this boat all over the place, and they are scared. They think they're going to die, and these are professional fishermen. So this was a bad storm. Jesus is asleep on the stern, it says, with his head on a cushion. That means on a pillow. Pillow, you know? He got his head on a pillow in a storm. And guess what they said? Carest thou not that we perish? That was not just a storm on the outside. That was a storm on the inside. They thought they were going to die. They were afraid. And isn't that how we feel when life has crashed in on us? We've all experienced it. I've experienced it. You've experienced it. Those feelings that God doesn't care right now. Martha and Mary had that in John 11. They said, if you would have been here, our brother would not have perished. What were they saying? I don't know that you care. And we could be super spiritual and say, oh, I never feel like that. I've never felt like that. And maybe there are a few super spiritual people who have never had that feeling. But sometimes you don't want it. You don't expect it. It just shows up, and you want to get rid of it, but it's there. And so they said, don't you care? We can't breathe because we're getting ready to die. It says they aroused him. In other words, he was in deep sleep. They had to shake and bake. They had to get him up because he was dying. Or they were dying, and they needed their Savior to intervene. He said, oh, ye of little faith, why are you so timid? In other words, you should be scared right now. You should be terrified right now. Why shouldn't we be terrified? Don't you know we're getting ready to die? How can you sleep when we can't breathe? When we're scared, we're huffing and puffing because they said they were bailing the water out. So they huffing and puffing. We can't breathe. We can't breathe. Because Jesus said, let us go to the other side. So he went to sleep. You see, you know what our fear does? It causes us to forget his word. He said, let us go to the other side, not let us go halfway and drown. But that's what circumstances do. It causes us to forget what God says and to focus on the circumstance. Now, you can't skip the fact that you're being inundated with a storm, but he wants his word to overrule. So they had his presence. He was in the boat. They had his word. Let us go to the other side. And they forgot both. So they lost the work of the Spirit giving them peace. Jesus said, peace be still. They said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? See, you need to know who you're dealing with. Jesus in John 20 walked through a door and he said, peace be unto you. Same thing he did in Mark. He said, chill, calm down, cool it. He said, I got this. Yeah, we got that problem out there, but I'm in here. You know, one of the reasons we can't breathe, Jesus is too far from us. The word of God is too rare to us. Oh yeah, we open it when the preacher gives us a scripture, but we don't know where to go when a various situations show up in our lives. We don't know what psalm to go to give us peace in the storm, or when we are afraid of a virus, or when we are afraid of violence or danger. We don't know where to turn because we only go to it when it's convenient. We don't breathe it. This is not the air we breathe. I challenge all of you to read Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. It's all about one subject, the Word of God. And David says, this Word of God is my life. Here's why. Because the Spirit of God, here it is, only works in His fullness in concert with the Word of God. Don't miss that. If you want to breathe, if you want to hear peace be unto you because you're scared, no matter what is causing that fear, the Spirit of God, who is the breath of God, will only give you the oxygen you need, not because He doesn't want to, but because you're not breathing the right stuff. You got too much smog in your life. You're not taking advantage of the Word of God. So to help you out here, I want to take you to another passage that I can only summarize, but I don't want you to miss this. It's in the book of Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. It's the famous Valley of Dry Bones. Now, when you get a chance, read all 14 verses. Meditate on it because it puts it all together so that you can breathe again. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have the oxygen tank. It's already in there. But you can have an oxygen tank and not use it. So you can be huffing and puffing and not having peace that the breath of God, who is the Holy Spirit, offers to believers. He says in verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord sent me to a valley full of dry bones. What was the problem with these dry bones? He says, can these bones live again? They're so dry, they are lifeless. It was so bad, all that Ezekiel could say is at the end of verse 3, O Lord God, you know. I can't answer that question because it looks real bad. Are you in a real bad situation? Are you having a spiritual asthma attack because everything around you is causing you to be constricted in your soul and you're wheezing, trying to breathe with all the chaos that's surrounding you? He tells the prophet, verse 4, prophesy over these bones. O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So give them some Bible. Prophesy over them. Give them the word of the Lord in their situation. Now watch verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath. Uh-oh, there's our word. To enter you that you may come to life. Hello. The Spirit of the Lord leads him. He says, listen to the word so I can give you breath. Breath is the Holy Spirit, as you'll see. I'm going to cause breath to enter. So verse 7, I prophesied as I was commanded and the bones begin to rattle. Uh-oh. The bones begin to shake and bake. Then he said, verse 9, prophesy to the breath, to the Spirit. Prophecy. Son of man, and say to the breath, the Spirit, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, the spirit, from everywhere, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life. Ooh, this is getting gooder and gooder. He's prophesying to the bones, but then he's prophesying to the breath. The breath is the spirit coming from the four winds. It's the air. It's the air we breathe. So the bones that are dry, hopeless, helpless, they're desperate. He says, prophesy to them. Tell the bones it's time to live. It's time not to fake it no more. Time not to be just going to church and living in your dryness. But then prophesy to the breath, the spirit. Why am I prophesying to the spirit? Because the Holy Spirit acts in concert with the word. So when you get the word of God and you are speaking the word of God, the spirit of God attaches to it. And when the spirit of God attaches to the word of God, something begins to happen. So I prophesied, verse 10, as he commanded me, and the breath came to them, and they came to life, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Let me read a little bit more, verse 11. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Or to put it in a New Testament word, it's the whole church. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope has perished. So how do you know you have no life? Because you have no hope. When your hope leaves, your life leaves. He says, our hope is gone. We are completely cut off. Can't find God nowhere. But then he says, prophesy and say to them, verse 12, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you, verse 14, and you will, here it is, come to life. And I will place you on your land. You will know that I am the Lord and have spoken and has done this, declares the Lord. Did you see that? He said, I'm going to take you out your grave. You feel like you're dying? Because, you know, when you're dying, you're losing your breath. You can't breathe. You feel like you're in crisis. The world is in crisis. The culture is in crisis. The church is in crisis. We're in crisis. And God says, it's time to breathe. Why has God allowed all of this stuff to take our breath away? Crisis after crisis, chaos after chaos, conflict after conflict. Why this divine disruption that you will know I am the Lord? It's not by might. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. It's not because you come up with a new program or because you elect a certain person to a political office. It's not because of that. I've interrupted all this stuff. It's not because of your money. It's not because of your clout. It's not because of your notoriety. No, if you don't have my spirit, you can have all that and be in a graveyard. You know what he's trying to do? God is trying to wake up the church. This is all about waking up the church, because we can't get them to live out there if we dig in our own graves in here. He says, I want to give you life. And how do you know you have life? He says, because you're going to be commissioned for spiritual impact. Whoever sins you remit, they will be remitted. He says in John 20. He says, in other words, you're going to make a spiritual impact. You know what the world is waiting for? Spiritual impact. You know why we're not having spiritual impact? Because we're 6 feet under. We're in our graves. We're saved. We're on our way to heaven, but there is no life. And he says there's no hope. That's what I mean. When hope is gone, then being alive as it was meant to be, spiritual life is lost. You and I have a plan that God has given us to make a spiritual impact in the world. But if God can't even make a spiritual impact in the aisles of our church, why do we think he'll make a spiritual impact in the aisles of Congress or in the streets of the city, when there's a graveyard in the sanctuary? So it's time to come alive. And that's based on the breath. But not breathing occasionally. Breathing the Holy Spirit as you connect it with the Word of God, you should now be running to the Scripture, running to the Bible, running to find out or get someone to help you find out, where do I go? And we're going to help you do that by giving you Scriptures to run to and talk to the Holy Spirit all day long as you go from this situation to that situation, as you're feeling hopelessness. Bring Him in on it so that He can breathe life into you and me. You know, one of the issues today and throughout the year of 2020 is Corona. 2020 is the year that everybody was fearful of Corona, because it's the virus that had no mercy. Didn't care who you were. Whether you were rich or poor, black or white, Hispanic or Asian, didn't care where you lived, because it was a worldwide epidemic. The great fear of Corona was that when it hit you, it would create inflammation. And that inflaming would hit the lungs. And if it got bad enough, and it hit the lungs, you can't breathe. You lose the ability to breathe. So what the United States did was it called on places all over the country to retrofit their manufacturing factories to produce more ventilators, because we were running short of ventilators. And so they were calling on groups to have enough ventilators for folk who can't breathe. Now, a ventilator has one job: to come as an aid to people who can't breathe and give them the ability to breathe that they no longer have on their own. It literally does the breathing for them. You know what the goal of the ventilator is? To save lives. The ventilator is there for folk who can't breathe to save lives. You and I are living in a spiritual virus. And it doesn't care who you are, where you live, what your color is, culture is, what your economic status is. And it hits everybody everywhere, so that you lose hope. And you lose life, and it doesn't care whether you're a churchgoer or not. But God has a ventilator system. A ventilator. And guess what? He's manufactured more than enough. In fact, He's got this ventilation system so sophisticated, it's not one operating outside to put a tube on you. He's built it inside of you to breathe for you inside out. So even though you got this fearful situation in the culture, this fearful situation of evil, this fearful situation of circumstances, inside of you is a Holy Ghost ventilator. And He wants to do the breathing for you. And if you'll connect the risen Christ with the Word of God so that God breathes on you, you'll hear Him say to you, regardless of the circumstances out there, peace be unto you. You can calm down now, because the Holy Spirit is the air you breathe. Now, if you've heard my voice and you don't have a ventilation system, you're living in hopelessness and despair. You're living in worry and anxiety, and you want peace within. There is a peace provider, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you will come to the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge the fact that you have been infected by the virus of sin, you are a sinner and you need a Savior. You've tried to find your own ventilation system, but it hasn't working. Your own ventilator, but it's not doing the job. Jesus will give you a built-in one. If you'll go to Him right now and acknowledge your sin, your need for a Savior, because He only saves sinners, and your willingness and decision to trust Him alone, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you to be your Savior, you can go to Him right now and say, I receive you. I trust you to enter into my life, forgive me of my sin, and I receive now your gift of eternal life and the Holy Spirit. Breathe on me, Lord. Come into my life and make me your child. If you're already a Christian, if you're already on your way to heaven, but you still may be choking a little bit, you may be having a little spiritual asthma attack, you're wheezing because there's so much chaos surrounding you, here it is. That's why we offer communion each week. To be a reminder, it's Christ in you that's the hope of glory. And how is He in you? Through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in you. He said, He's in you. You don't have to go find Him. You can't get away from Him if you're a believer. He's in you. You and I look in all the wrong places to find peace. He's in you. As you go to the Lord right now, I want you to thank Him for the Holy Spirit. And I want you to tell the Lord, you're going to walk with the Spirit. You're going to hang out with Him. You ain't going to leave Him on the side. You're going to bring Him in on everything because you need Him for all the things that are going to face you in this upcoming week. And that provision was made by the cross. Thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit that He's going to be with you all week long. And as you eat this bread, you're remembering that provision was made because of the cross. Let's eat together. And now the cup, that provision was made because of the blood that provides forgiveness of sin. Shall we drink together? Thank you, Lord, that you've not left us alone, but your word can come alive in our hearts because of the work of the Holy Spirit. We yield ourselves to Him now in Jesus' name. Amen.
What an awesome word. I can't wait to see you again next week. Thank you for joining us this week. And remember to be steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord. Know that it will not go in vain. Remember, Sunday morning, 10 a.m., OCBFchurch.org, OCBF YouTube, OCBF Facebook. We can't wait to see you again next week. Blessings.